This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Are you looking for inspiration?
Would you like to develop or renew a relationship with God?
Let us show you how.
Tune in to the Focus on Jesus broadcast on Mondays and Fridays at 1 p.m. right here on WCNO, the Good News Station.
Remember to focus on Jesus.
Jesus is Lord.
Fifth Street Pharmacy of Okeechobee is a WCNO corporate underwriter. Longtime pharmacists Blair Coolwin and Tom Bimbo, along with their dedicated staff, pride themselves on fast and friendly service, providing you a pharmacy experience with the personal touch that you deserve. Fifth Street Pharmacy is located on the corner of Northwest Fifth Street and 2nd Avenue, behind Napa Auto Parts. Most insurance plans are accepted, and they provide a drive-up window for your convenience.
Do you think God had an attitude or a certain disposition about cheaters, extortionists? He said, I want to give you prosperity, and if you want your days to be long, make sure that you're being fair.
I want to be more than an ordinary servant. I want to be
Welcome to Capturing His Conscience with Pastor Bernard King, Sr. Pastor Bernard is Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Bible Fellowship in Delray Beach, Florida. The focus of our ministry is to be more than ordinary servants for an extraordinary God. This is your host, Tom Moon. In today's program, we're going to continue a series on the book of Hosea. Pastor Bernard will be teaching from Hosea chapter 12, verses 6 through 14. Now here's Pastor Bernard with today's message, Jacob Yesterday, Israel Today. Part 2.
Hosea 12, verses 6 through 14. And I'm reading just from the KJV. Therefore, turn thou to thy God, keep mercy and judgment, and wait on thy God continually. He is a merchant. The balances of deceit are in his hand. He loveth to oppress. And Ephraim said, yet I am become rich. I have found me out substance. In all my labors, they shall find none iniquity in me that were sin. And I, that am the Lord thy God, from the land of Egypt, will yet make thee to dwell in tabernacles as in the days of the solemn feast. I have also spoken by the prophets, and I have multiplied visions and used similitudes by the ministry of the prophets. Is there iniquity in Gilead? Surely they are vanity. They sacrifice bullocks to Gilgal. Yea, their altars are as heaps in the furrows of the fields. And Jacob fled to the country of Syria, and Israel served for a wife, and for a wife he kept sheep. And by a prophet the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt, and by a prophet was he preserved. Ephraim provoked him to anger most bitterly. Therefore shall he leave his blood upon him, and his reproach shall his Lord return unto him. Let's see what God has for us in our time remaining. We want to be not just hearers of the word, we want to do the word and apply the word. Let's pray. God, we beseech you for blessings. That is, to bless us with hearts that will be receptive. We ask that you remove any influence in this assembly that's not of God, that will impair, that will interfere with you leading us. Help us to choose you, not ourselves. Make us strong. Grant us the grace. Give us the courage to receive, and the strength and the grace and the courage to change. To change. We're grateful to be in your hands, Daddy. For your glory, we pray. Amen. Amen. We're going to go verse to verse, and then we're going to do a little application. And again, I'm going to tell you about the passage. I ask that you, if you take notes, that'd be great as we look at our lesson today. Now, we pick it up at verse 6. And verse 6, if you take a note, what you see and what we have in verse 6 is a call for repentance, as we know. Repentance and to return to mercy and judgment. Repentance and return to mercy and judgment. Not the punitive judgment, but judgment that equates to fairness and equity. Fairness and equity and justice. Doing the right thing. So he said, hey, Israel, repent and start doing the right thing. So return to the Lord. You see, Ephraim was called to come back and start doing things right. And the call of repentance will be reflected in verse 7. There's a reason for the call. There's a reason for the call of repentance, which is reflected. Because God Almighty got some charges. He took Israel to court and he began to levy some charges and they were found guilty. And God called them out in his holy court. God charged Israel with turning from him and hooking up with idolatry and breaking the laws of justice and judgment. So what's the evidence? In verse 7 through 8, we're at this point, I've listed this section of scripture. 7 and 8 points us to a nation that is parked in pride. A nation that is parked in pride. You know, that thing that we don't have a problem with, right? Pride is so destructive. When God lists in Proverbs chapter 6, 6 to 7 things, these things that the Lord hates. These seven, they are detestable and an abomination to him. Guess what the first thing he mentions? Pride. Because when a person's prideful, you can pray all you want, lay hands on them, try to make an appeal, and they're not having it. They are frozen, they are stuck, and God says, Pastor, do you know what I said in my word about prideful people? So, Pastor, even you, Pastor, don't get prideful, Pastor. Why? He says, forget me. Don't ask me. Don't expect me to show up. Don't expect me to intervene in your situation. You're wasting your time praying. God, why, Father? Because I always resist the prideful, but I give grace to the humble. You see why humility is essential. God says, stop asking me to step out of my character because I'm not. And Israel is in a place there because she's got resource and she's got monies and God's been bountiful, blessed them with a bounty, if you will. Look at verses 7 and 8. If in your translation, in the KJV, says he is a merchant. Some translations have Canaanite, because in the language, original language in the Hebrew, that word merchant is Canaanite. So he is a Canaanite. The balance of deceit are in his hand. He loveth to oppress. What's going on, Pastor? The nation of Israel is engulfed in what I call economic dishonesty and oppression. By the way, does that sound familiar? Have you looked at the current financial structure? We keep borrowing and borrowing trillions and trillions that, like it's monopoly money, they just keep printing it money we don't have. And got Wall Street, I'm not an economist, but hey, I know something. You got the stocks just booming, everything is booming, everything's going well, be careful. The nation of Israel was engulfed by economic dishonesty and oppression, defrauding the people with deceitful scales. Like, for example, in that day, they didn't have the Walmart, Super Walmarts, and they didn't have Publix back then, but they had merchants, tradesmen that will trade fine material or fine stone and oil and fruit and all types of resources in that day. to trade, and say we go to the market, which is out in the open, and then the guy has these scales, and so I am paying for so many pounds. If I went to Publix, for example, and I want a pound of bananas, I expect to pay, 29 cents a pound, it says. And when I get on the scale, I notice I could only put two bananas on. Something's going on here. It's inequitable. It's inequitable. It's not working. But people have been taking advantage of people for centuries. How many of you guys know we have greedy business people? Covetous people. Try to have a conversation with a customer service person of a company. And they got all kinds of explanations why you owe them more money and they can hold on to your money. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Well, what we have is Israel is parked in pride. Now, she's boastful, and because she is busy, or he, you might see the personal pronoun, he or she. We'll talk about Israel. And at the same time, when you see Ephraim, that's synonymous with Israel. They are parked in pride. They are boastful and prideful because they're captured by a callous conscience. See, when your conscience is not tender, anybody ever work out? Now, if you work out and you lift weights, I do a little weight lifting. And I remember when I first started lifting that I began to develop this yellow hard material on the palms of my hands at the base of my finger. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Calluses. Because what's the purpose of the calluses? They toughen the skin. Is that right? It may be good for the weight room, but it's not good when you're praying with God. It may be good in the weight room, but we can't have tough hearts and tough skins when God is trying to penetrate his truth in our lives. And when we get a callous conscience, no matter what the Bible says in black and white, it's true. It's speaking about your specific situation, not your neighbors, not your friend. The Bible is specifically speaking to you about something, and you with your callous conscience say, not me. That's what pride do. Israel was, she forgot. In her mind, she thought that her money would cover and hide her sin. You know, it's interesting how people conduct themselves about when they have money. Like nothing, like they're like Teflon. Nothing will stick to them because they got the money. In this world, but not in the economy of Almighty God. God will make you accountable. In their mind, they thought that wealth would cover and hide their sin. And what you see in this text in verses 7 and 8 is this is a direction to the foolishness of what I call cardinal security, not social security, but cardinal security. When you think that your security and your future and your home is in my nest egg and in my resources that I'm hoarding and I won't give back because they belong to God, I got security because I have money. Hosea's going to break it down for you. Hosea says, hey, I'm laying it down from my own experience that there is a benefit and a comfort to trust a holy God for everything I do versus what I have in my wallet. Anybody tracking with me? There's an issue for those who don't trust in God, but trust in their money. They're not trusting God. They trust in the worldly wealth. Question, Cornerstone Bible Fellowship. What does the Bible, what does the scripture teach about those who trust in their own money? Real quickly, I'm going to go through a survey. What the Word of God says, write the first reference down, Psalm 62:10. What does the scripture teach about those who trust in their riches? Because here's where we have Israel. They're trusting that their money will prevent them from being accountable to Almighty God. Their money will cover their sins. But in Psalm 62, verse 10, the Bible says, Trust not in oppression. That word oppression there in the KJV means money gained by extortion. Money gained by extortion. And become not vain in robbery. That's exactly what it means, robbery. Money you've cheated people about. You cheated from people or you've stolen from people. And if riches increase, set not your heart upon them, Psalm 62:10. Again, in the New Testament, Jesus spoke about people who trust in money and not him and not God. In Mark chapter 10, verse 24, the Bible says, and disciples were astonished at his words, but Jesus answered again and said unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? When judgment day, when the Bible says in Hebrews, it's appointed unto all men to die, and after that, there is a judgment. There is an accounting. Will your CDs, your gold, your money, can you bribe God? Say, God, get me. I'm allowed to go to heaven because I'm rich. Will your money help you in that day? I've made hospital visits in my day. And whether you're rich or poor, you got all these wires hanging out of you. Your money has no answers. And Lord willing, those that are humble enough will say, Pastor, I have a need for forgiveness, a need for forgiveness of my sins. And my money can't pay for my sins. The only one that can pay for our sins is Jesus Christ. He laid his life down so we can have eternal life. I hope you trust in Jesus for your future and not money. It is because the rich man thinks that I'm protected. The rich man says, I don't even need insurance. I don't need life insurance. I don't need this insurance because if I got to go to the hospital, I just pay for it out of pocket. But Jesus says, very hard. In another gospel account, Jesus said, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. You guys know the Bible says that. Now, we need to know, we're not talking about, I love the picture. Camel with not one hump, but two humps, trying to get through the eye of a needle. Now, that's not going to work, but we know that the eye of the needle was a certain place in the wall of Jerusalem where the animal, the beast of burden, could try to get down and get into the gate. But Jesus said, no, it's hard for rich people. How many of you guys know it's hard witnessing to rich people? 1 Timothy, again. Paul writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:17. Hey, Tim, you got rich people in your church. Here's what you tell them. Charge those that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches. Notice the riches are called uncertain, not guaranteed, may not deliver when you need it. Charge those that are rich not to be high-minded, Tim, but trust in the living God who gives to all of us richly. Here's a thought I want you to think about. When wealth is your wall, God will cause it to fall. When wealth is your wall, wealth is your tower, wealth is your protection, God says, kaboom! I'll cause it to fall. God's not anti-money. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil. God can use resources of people. But the issue is, when the money has you, it becomes your God. That's what God is against. Now, with Israel, again, they were cheating people out. Notice that in verse 7, balances of deceit is in their hand, and they love to oppress. Israel was taking great pleasure and pride in taking advantage of people. Again, in our current context, there are a lot of people in certain professions that take pleasure and pride for taking advantage of people. You know, again, those that practice law and the politicians and the pastors, be careful. There are a lot of them that take great pride that you keep putting your $9.99, your $10, your money in, and so they can have their empires. take great pleasure in pride. And not only that, they love to oppress. To oppress somebody is bad enough, but to enjoy it? A conscience like that, with all due respect, a conscience that enjoys oppressing people is a conscience that I believe has been wiped away by the enemy. A conscience that's wiped from what is right from the wicked one. Has no sensitivity whatsoever. This conscience will not check itself, will not call itself on its sin. This kind of conscience, again, is captured. Because if this conscience had any kind of conviction, then God says, I wouldn't have given you a charge. I wouldn't have charged you, Israel, if you had the right conscience. However, you do not. Because if I got the right kind of conscience, I would not love oppressing people. I would not love my sin. I would loathe my sin. But when you got a conscience like that, you've canceled out all biblical conviction. You love to oppress the people and take advantage of them with this balance thing. Now, in the Old Testament, all through the Bible is very clear, and God is very strong on his position about unfair balances. The Old Testament consistently speaks about using scales that was rigged up to take advantage of people. Just write the references down for homework. Deuteronomy 25, verses 13 through 16. Everything I say, I want you to know it's biblical. Deuteronomy 25, verses 13 through 16. God says in Deuteronomy 25, verses 13 through 16, thou shalt not have in your house divers measures or different types, and great and small, but thou shalt have a perfect and just weight. A perfect and just measure shall you have, that thy days may be lengthened in the land which the Lord your God gives you. Verse 16, for all that do such things and all that do unrighteously are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. Do you think God had an attitude or a certain disposition about cheaters, extortionists? He said, I want to give you prosperity, and if you want your days to be long, make sure that you're being fair. Make sure that you're being equitable. Make sure that you're not cheating people. Again, Proverbs 11:1. The Bible says in Proverbs 11:1, a false balance is an abomination to the Lord. Strong language. Abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. Come on, Mr. Insurance Man, be fair. Hospitals, be fair. Bankers, be fair. If I'm going to gotta buy me a car because my car is broken down, let's work a deal, but be fair. So I'm not trying to personalize, I'm just letting you know. God doesn't like false balances. Micah 6, verses 11 and 12. Micah 6, verses 11 and 12, as we continue this attitude, this indictment, and also this, again, the judgment for having a unfair balance. Micah 6, verses 11 and 12, the Bible reads, shall I count them pure with the wicked balances and with the bag of deceitful weights? For the rich men thereof are full of violence, and inhabitants thereof have spoken lies, and a tongue is deceitful in their mouth. Again, Ephraim is charged with deceitful trade. Ephraim is acting like the Canaanite. Ephraim, God says, I've given you prosperity. I've given you blessings. I've given you a land flowing with milk and honey. Why is it that you got to cheat people? How much is enough? God bless you, but he's never encouraged you to exact money from people that they can't afford. God's never encouraged you to take advantage of people. Again, that word merchant is Canaanite because the Canaanites had a reputation. In that day, they were merchants and they got a lot of their money dishonestly. They were well-known merchants and traders in that day. And God is saying, you're just as corrupt as these Canaanites. Verse 8, Ephraim said, in my cheatings, in my dealings, I have become rich. That's nothing to brag about. Ephraim said, I become rich. I have found me out substance in my own labors. They shall find no iniquity in me. Translate, I ain't did nothing wrong. Everybody's doing it. I'm just an entrepreneur. This is how you operate. This is how we roll. This is how we make money. You scratch my back, I scratch yours. Surely I become rich. Hosea, again, he's prophesying in a time when Israel is prosperous. They enjoy great prosperity, but spiritually speaking, they're impoverished. Here's what I find interesting. You know how we get. When money's good, you got money in the bank. Sometimes when we have what we call a strong foundation, and we should be good stewards, and we should have a good financial base. But be careful when you're establishing a financial base. That it's not, it doesn't consume you, that that's what you're occupied with on a regular basis. You know, when we get money in the pocket, money in the bank, sometimes it's hard for people to believe that society is descending into depravity. Sometimes when we got money, we fail to realize that society is sinking in the depths of depravity and the culture is going to get crushed by a catastrophic wave that washes away all the foundations that we need in order to be a sound and a strong and a great nation. We must be careful. Money can lead you astray if you fix your eyes on it and trust it. Verse 8 now, second half of verse 8. Nothing, I've done nothing wrong. Listen to this braggart. Listen to the conceit. Ephraim stands guilty as charged. You would think that he would bring contrition. You would think that he said, hey, I plead, I'm begging mercy on the court of God. Have mercy on me, God. You would think that there'll be, Lord, I take personal ownership. I'm embracing ownership of my sin, of my extortion, cheating people like this, mistreating people. God, I own it. Please have mercy on me. You would think that's how they respond to God. But listen what we hear. What is it that we hear out of their hearts? What do we hear, preacher? Well, not contrition. Not contrition at all.
I want to be more than an ordinary servant. I want to be more. I want to be more than an ordinary.
We thank you for joining us today for the first part of Pastor Bernard's message, Jacob Yesterday, Israel Today, Part 2. In today's program, Pastor Bernard discussed the danger of prioritizing financial wealth in our lives. Placing our trust in our finances rather than God indicates a prideful heart that will separate us from God and invite judgment. Matthew 6:24 says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon." What about you? Has your love of money caused you to be unfair with others? If so, we encourage you to repent and seek restoration in that situation so that you can have a right relationship with God. To learn more about a relationship with God, please visit our website at cbfdelray.org or contact our office at 561-243-9127. We'd love to hear from you. We invite you to join us for our next program on Saturday at 1 p.m. Capturing His Conscience is a ministry of Cornerstone Bible Fellowship in Delray Beach, Florida. Until next time, this is Tom Moon encouraging you to be more than an ordinary servant for an extraordinary God.